Blog Talk Radio.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my tears in the hopes they'd disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I can't.
You just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, oh, tell me I'd be well be learned that I could cope.
Well, 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 I discovered I could make it.
Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold.
I discovered I could take it.
Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow.
Yeah.
We don't own the rights to that song, but we like playing it. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. You know, it was so exciting during that 7 o'clock hour. Show, and there was over 51 people joining us. You know, that's exciting to know that those individuals took time to listen to the preview show. We want you to do the same thing by calling in to Talking Sports Plus. And our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now, if you just want to listen to the show, you can call in, but you have something to say. All you do is press 1, and I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to let us know who you are. And tell us where you're from and jump in the conversation. All right, the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And if you want to just check out everybody on Twitter, you can go to Talking Sports Plus with the number 1 at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell with the number 1, at Tremaine Elwood with the number 7, at Coach underscore L. underscore Smith. You know, basically, when we're talking about Talking Sports Plus, we have to let you know exactly what our brand is. Our brand is all about being the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We're aired every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. So if you're joining us or thinking about joining us, hit that button. Make the right move, then you let it do what it do. All right, let me introduce my co-host, because I have to do that. But before I actually do this, I want to do as I did in each and every one of the shows on Monday, on last Wednesday, take this opportunity to recognize on this day is the Founders' Day of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, founded January the 16th, 1920, which makes it 99 years been in existence, providing service and founder womanhood. So we will recognize them on this day, and this show is dedicated to all the Zetas near and far. If you're listening, we just ask you to just enjoy the day, enjoy the night, continue to serve for another 99 years. But I also have to take the opportunity to recognize one of our team members, and I try to do that for each one of them that are members of an organization. Our team member out of the state of South Carolina, she's a past national first anti-ambassador of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and that's our special expert guest on Monday, and now will be our co-host, because all of my special guests will become co-hosts, meaning special expert guests will be co-hosts. That is Sara Scarlett H. Black. If you're listening, Scarlett, happy Founders Day to you. All right, let's introduce our team that's with us so far. We got, I keep getting the phone buzzing, letting me know that people are going to be joining me in a minute out of our team. So, but let me introduce that young man that's with us. And I want him to know that it's just, sometime it's just going to be Trey and me. I love it. So let's do that. He hails actually from Central Alabama, but now lives up at Meridianville, just north of Huntsville. He's well respected among his peers as an educator and a coach, Teacher Young. He has that slogan that live and die by. And that slogan is, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And he's known on this show as our king, none other than Coach Tremaine the King Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How y'all doing tonight, man? How y'all doing, fans, listeners, everything, man? Hot topics, baby. I'm ready, baby. We're gonna have to go out the guidelines tonight, baby. I just got some news. We got to go out the guidelines, baby.
Ooh, awesome, awesome, Trey. We're going to make it, again, you know the word, they can do what they do it. We're going to cover them all angles. You know, today is Wednesday, and they call it Wonderful Wednesday. And some other words, they call it Hump Day, getting you close to the weekend. So we're going to go way beyond, a little bit outside of the guidelines. You're right, Trey. Yes, we got some things on here as topics, but we're going to make it do what it do. So let's also introduce our other co-host who's not here at this time, but they called him in and they say going to be joining us in a few minutes. We have Touchdown Tony, known as Coach Tony Stallworth, and he's going to join us in the next 10 minutes. And then our radio personality, better known as Don King of Entertainment, he's the head and the conductor of what they call the E-Train, known from the state of Florida, Fort Walton, all over that area, up through Dothan, up Alabama, all the way to Montgomery. None other than Daryl E-Train Elliott. Last but not least is our millennial, the lady of the show. She carries that very well. And as a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, I want to make sure she gets the right induction as well, our millennial, Coach Lauren D. Smith. And those individuals join us in a little bit, so we'll make sure we recognize them in a manner when they come on. Trey, you know, the title of this show tonight is The Game Is On.
Let's get it, baby.
Out of bounds to make a play. Let's step above the rim and make a play. Let's step across the goal line. Let's make a play tonight, and we're going to do that. We'll start off with that historical black colleges and universities storyline. Well, Trey, let's talk a little bit about college basketball, because that's what's going on. We're going to do a recap of the SWAC, MEAC, SIAC, and the CIAA. Trey, tell me what you heard. Tell me what's new.
I haven't heard from nobody but these jokers on this hill up here, man. We struggling, man. We fighting, Dr. Smith. Shoot, we've been getting beat in overtime and by 1 point. But we got a big win versus the G-Men, Grambling. And Dr. Smith, we 1-3. 1-3 right now. Mm-hmm. We got Alabama State on Saturday. So we gonna see how that work out, man. The women, I think, are 3-1. So they reversed. So we doing better than expected, because I didn't expect this out the boys at all this year. So them in games is really showing me that this coach might be worried about his job. But other than that, my Tar Heel struggling, Dr. Smith. My Tar Heel struggling out the gate. We like a greyhound dog stumbling out the gate, man. We dropping a couple there. But we pulled a big one out last night versus Notre Dame. But I seen Duke stumble out this week against the zone. The zone defense got Duke. Syracuse. Mm-hmm. It was another big game. We had Texas and Kansas. I think Texas got Kansas, didn't it, Dr. Smith?
Yes. Kansas came back and won.
But Texas was giving them a fight. But it's gonna be an incredible year in college basketball, man. I really can't judge the top. We got a team's losing Duke. Look superior, but they got some key injuries going on over there, Dr. Smith. Two of them freshmen beat up, man. Two of them beat up, and they showed the other night that they were needed. So we're going to see how they work. But I'm proud of my Bulldogs for fighting in the SWAC, baby. We're going to be there. Meek going to be in the seats this Saturday, man, in Birmingham, man. We coming, baby. Dr. Smith.
That's awesome. I'm gonna tell the Hornets that the hill will be there. The hill will be there. And just to kind of add a little bit to it, you know, that was a hard fought game between A&M and Pine Bluff. Pine Bluff leads the conference at 3-0. They're undefeated in the conference. You have the touch bases on Alabama State and Mississippi Valley played on Monday night, and the score was 81-72. Alabama State now is 3-1. We didn't watch them play. They just play like they always play. And I guess that the fortune and the good thing about it, the fortunes they're having here is that they're able to win games on the road. And you know, in the SWAC, it's important that you win all your home games, then try to win one or two on the road. You know, when you do that, half of them on the road, you got a chance to be seated high in the tournament. And you got a chance. This year, the tournament is played in Birmingham over there at the Bill Harris Complex. So everybody can come out. Everybody been talking about bring it back to Alabama. You got it in Alabama. Your team are doing well. You know, just like I said, girls, Alabama A&M is 3-1, and if I'm not mistaken, girls at Alabama State is 3-1. So it's going to be exciting. Alabama State, I saw the first game. They lost that first game, but since then they kind of had an overtime win, and they had some other wins. So that's awesome right there. Other schools that are doing well, you know, are just playing in the SWAC. You have Jackson State that – they're 3-1 in the conference. They beat Southern the other night, 64-58, and they was led by Sidney Umidi, and he had 16 points. And Grambling State beat Alcorn 77-42, and they 2-2 in the conference. They was led by Dallas Polk Hillen. It's Hillen. And the MEAC, you got some teams, Trey, we'll just touch bases on them. North Carolina A&T, they won, beat Maryland Eastern Shore 67-58. North Carolina Central won, beat Delaware State. Norfolk State beat McCookman. South Carolina State beat Coffin State. Morgan State beat Howard. And then you have in the SIAC, for those individuals listening, that's Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And the leader of the East Division is Morehouse with a 7-2 record. Leader of the Western Division of the SIAC is Miles College. They got an 8-1 record. And Tuskegee is 7-1. So those schools close by doing real well, so we applaud them. We have the CIAA, and you have Virginia State that's 5-0 in the northern part of the conference. And then in the southern part, you have Winston-Salem State. So they're 2-4, but they're leading that part of the division. They got a north and a south. Now, Trey, since we are talking about basketball, ROB, the game is on, the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. And we're going to be, like I say, they need people to put their meat in the seat. And you look to have a crowd there because they have they renovated Bill Harris Arena or complex, and it's real nice. As I was told, real nice in there. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be band playing.
Yes,
the Patrick's is going to be band. People going to be screaming and hollering. Everybody want to try to win. So it's an awesome game, you know, and everybody's looking forward to it. So, you know, that's something everybody needs to do. Put your meat in the seat. Make sure you put your meat in seat. The only thing, I know that's going to be a little weather condition there, too, because it's probably 100% rain up there. So that's going to make everybody make sure you be careful as you're driving around. You know, maybe go to the hardwood and go watch the game, which is Bill Harris Complex, and then, you know, try to make your way, get you something to eat, and get on back to where you need to be because that water will be setting up pretty high. But it's going to be pageantry. It's going to be excitement. Magic City Classic on the hardwood. So join them in Birmingham, Alabama. And if I'm not mistaken, it's starting at 4 o'clock. If I'm not mistaken, I might be off on the time. We'll make sure they're starting at 4 o'clock. So everybody be there to see the girls play. I think that's going to be exciting, too, as well. So make a point to be there this weekend in Birmingham, Alabama. All right, Trey, let's kind of take us a dive into our coach's corner now. And our team should be joining us in a little bit, and we can talk a little bit more. Jalen Hurst, Sweet State. Trey, Jalen Hurst, Sweet State. Oh, the Sweet State is over. Let's talk about that, my brother. Let's talk about that.
Let's go. Shoot, I think it's a gift for gab, Dr. Smith. I was talking with my partners today with that move. I said, man, I don't know, because at Oklahoma, you got to stretch the field. That's one of Jalen Hurst's weaknesses, stretching the field. But honestly, Dr. Smith, me and you talked about this. If I'm Jalen Hurts, my resume is already roped. I'm going to try to take my spiel and go to the NFL. And I'm going to take my chances there. It's nothing else to prove. I don't think Jalen Hurts has anything else to prove for a college atmosphere. I think he can hurt himself, Dr. Smith. I most definitely think he can hurt himself. But they're going to have some controversy over there because I've been reading up on them. Also at Oklahoma, because they just signed a five-star quarterback, Spencer Rattler. And Spencer Rattler said Coach Riley told me he's not taking any transfer quarterbacks anytime soon. This was New Year's Eve. 1231 18 on Twitter. So they gonna have some stuff going on over there. And I don't think that position would be just given to Jalen. I think he's gonna have to earn it. But he's gonna have some competition over there with the 5-star quarterback, Spencer Rattler over there waiting to come. The quarterback that backed up Kyler Murray this year, he's transferred to West Virginia, I think, Dr. Smith. He's got up out of there. So they got a lot going on at these schools, man. But I wish, like I said, I wish Jalen Hurts the best. But me having a screw in my ankle, Dr. Smith, I'm probably going on to the NFL. Because this last year in the NFL, these jokers going to get jokers out of grocery stores and working at the bar, man, and play quarterback. So I'm going to take my chance in the NFL because that's my initial goal. You know, he's saying, you know, he's working on his education. That's always something that you can do in the offseason of the NFL. So I don't think that's an issue. But I would take my services to the NFL this year. I take my chance in the draft. And go with that, but I don't know about this, Dr. Smith. And going to a program like Oklahoma, where you must produce, and you have to be wide open. And with Jalen Hurts, as y'all saw, I can't speculate on what he's developed as because he hasn't played a whole game, Dr. Smith. So I can't speculate on that. So I can't say what he's gonna do, but all I can do is say what he's done for us. It wasn't Oklahoma football. I'm gonna say that, Dr. Smith.
Okay, and that's awesome. And, you know, and that's the point of view we're looking at because, you're talking about a player who had done everything, and I have the same thinking. But then, you know, I'm gonna get on the side. I'm gonna err on the side of just thinking maybe this young man think that something can happen. If anybody's gonna develop him as a quarterback, to not to be as precise as a quarterback before them, but to up his percentage of completing passes, Lincoln Riley is the right person. There's nobody else better than Lincoln Riley. I don't think Enos could do it. That's the best quarterback, because if you can turn what you had into two Heisman Trophy candidates, I do believe that that's the best opportunity. And by him going to Oklahoma, the only thing I can see that's going to come out of this is that his draft as being free agent, probably, which he may have ended up, or six or seven round, he may increase it to probably third or fourth round. That's the only thing I can see about playing this and getting the best tutelage by, I think, the best quarterback and the best offensive mind that is Lincoln Riley. So that's the plus for him, and plus the controversy that may be and may not be, because first of all, this was not just Jalen Hurts walking over to Oklahoma and said, I want to play. Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, went after Jalen Hurts. He wanted Jalen Hurts. He said he had to have Jalen Hurts. He think he can do better, and he think he's going to make his team better. So the thing about it, he don't think he can fall off. We don't know, but my thought is I'm putting my name in the draft. I'm going with the draft, but if that's what he's going to do, we'll see how it turns out and see how it works in his favor. I don't think he can do no better in third round next year anyway, or fourth round. Regardless of what happened at Oklahoma, it doesn't really matter. He's not going to get no higher than that because of not being able to do some of the things that everybody thinks you're supposed to be able to do. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that, Trey, and see how it turns out. But that freshman quarterback, even though he said that, my understanding that he was already told that if he got Jalen or got somebody else, he would have to just work on his game so he'll be ready in 2 years, either next year. So that's one of the things I understand was told him. So he's there to play. He ain't there because he could have went to Miami or he could have went to Maryland and been the starter, but he's there to play. So we had to kind of see and keep an eye, want the best, and we wish the best to Jalen. Jalen was a player that added a whole different wrinkle to being one of the best players, but not only that, one of the players that worked with adversity like we ask all our young people to do, and a lot of them can't handle that. So we'll kind of keep an eye on it and see how it turns out. All right, Kyler Murray, He's declared for the 2019 NFL draft. Trey, tell me what you think about Kyler Murray declaring for the draft. Now, understand, before we get into this discussion, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. You can call in, share your thoughts on it, tell us what you think about Jalen Hurts, think about the historical black colleges schedule this past weekend and what's coming up this weekend that's coming up with the Magic City Clash on the hardwood. Tell us about your community. Trey, tell me what you think about Kyler Murray declaring for the 2019 NFL draft. Is that the right choice?
My boy saying, show me the money, man. He told his baseball people. He said, y'all gonna have to get me $15 million to get me on his baseball field. So he's leaving his option open. A lot of people thought he would pick baseball over football. Right now, he's not looking that way. He's looking like he want to play quarterback in NFL, which is not hard, like I said, Dr. Smith. And that's the question I got for Jalen Hurts, Dr. Smith. Like, why are you coming back then? So we gonna see, Dr. Smith. But I'm with Kyler Murray. That's a good move. I think he will be productive in the NFL as a dual threat quarterback. Every dual threat that has played in the last 2 years that it came out of college was successful. We had Watson and Lamar Jackson. So I think it's a chance for him to be productive in the league. So that's not a bad move for Kyler Murray. I think he can make it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I size is always a problem with me when you ain't but 5'8" or 5'7". And that's going to be I think it will be a problem. I think the baseball is still on the table. I don't think he's going to go. I know everybody keeps saying, well, he can get $20 million if he drafted the first round. But if you ain't, you're catching the same fish like a lot of other quarterbacks catching, just like Dak, what's his name, Dak at Dallas, everybody questioned whether you'd kind of be the quarterback in 2 years. Are you the quarterback for the future? And then you got the situation with young man down at Tampa. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand, it's a little different. And in baseball, you got a whole different ball game to me. And that game, if you can play that game, yeah, you might not. But you already got a $4.6 million signing bonus out of $9 million. You already got it. You took the folks' money. So the point is you can give it back and gamble on 20 that you might not be able to sustain in a couple of years, and I understand there's been some success, but I think the size is a problem. And I don't care how fast he's fast out on that field, and they fast out there on that field out there, call the NFL field. So you equal out when you got guys 6'4", 6'5", can run just as fast as you run. So it's a gamble for him. I still think baseball is in play. I still think it's more of a negotiating thing. I think he wants to play baseball. He wants to try football, but having some success this year was good. But is the bottom line, you're thinking about beyond this point. You're thinking is you're going to be able to be a starter, be able to say, well, you can say, I could have been in baseball. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye. But that's just my thought, and that's Trey's thought in regards to that. So we don't know whether it's the right choice or not, but at least he took the option. He had the option. He had to make a decision yesterday? At a certain time. He had no choice.
Yes, sir.
Why say no? Why say no to it when you can leave it? So this is more of taking advantage of the option. You making me say I need to take this choice. So that don't mean it's going to work in that favor. He's just making it clear that I'm leaving my options open. And it's all about options. And that's what life is all about. The calling number is 347-857-4192. That's your option. Press 1, then allow yourself to be a part of this. And I give the last 4 digits of your cell number, and then I ask you to identify yourself with your name and your location. Then join in the conversation. Let us know what you think about Kyler. What do you think about Jalen Hurts? What do you think about the SWAC? And those are the topics we already covered. All right, Trey, we're going to look at this eligibility thing now. We talked a little bit about last week, but we had a new wrinkle. The wrinkle was added to it, and that wrinkle was, the court system now is involved with this situation. And I think everybody has to get a clear understanding how this works. And I'm going to kind of start off with a trade, and you can kind of add in, you know, your thoughts on that end. As you understand, the ruling for this person is that, and we're relating it, and we're talking about should court system get involved with high school eligibility issues. We have option to use the court system in anything we deal with. Sometimes it become our last resort. However, as you understand, let's understand this particular situation, the person has been declared ineligible, meaning they can't participate. Political moves, the public eye was put on it, national eye was put on it, professional athletes were making statements, professional commentators were making statements, everyone was making statements. The last-ditch effort, even though those things did not change that committee, is to file an injunction in your local town. If you file it in your local town, automatically your judge is going to sign off on it and the hearing to say you're able to play until it goes before the courts. This isn't saying she's eligible. They say she's able to play until it go and be decided by the court. The court still has to decide whether that ruling that the association had affected her, hurt her, caused some way that she's not able to play. So that's how we need to look at it. We need to start off understanding she's still ineligible. That has not changed. The ruling says that the injunction is so she can play. Because if you remember, the whole logistics thing was what? Let her play. Everybody said let her play. So she's getting a chance to play. Let's get your thoughts on that, Trey.
Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this.
Uh-huh.
I'm with you right there. I've been getting into it with a lot of people about this subject matter, but if she broke the rule, she need to be penalized point blank. If the court system is giving her availability to play, it's gonna hurt them in the long run. It's gonna chop. It's gonna be about more than her. She's gonna chop that team in half, man. With the coach putting out there, I would have looked at all the – listening to you right now, Dr. Smith, you're giving me information that's letting me know that it is on you. Okay, the judge can say, you know, you're eligible. But on the other sense, and when it goes to court with the Alabama High School Association, if they declare her ineligible, that means I'm going to have to forfeit every game she played in. So – that's a gift and a gab for the team. That's going to hurt your team. Because I think they're winning. Are they winning the game she's playing in, Dr. Smith?
Yes, they're winning.
Okay. Yes, it's going to hurt them then, Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
So we'll see before long.
And let me just kind of add this to you, Trey, as you're saying. The court only said that the ruling is being put on hold until we go to court. You can play until we go to court. And your local, I can tell you, I'm going to paint this picture and help everybody understand this. When it does go to court in that county, in Pike County, in Troy, the court going to rule for her. The high school association going to appeal it. Once the appeal, it goes to the appellate court of the state of Alabama. The appellate court is a bunch of conservative Republicans. They follow the rules. They're going to say the rules, you broke the rule. Then they're going to rule for the High School Athletic Association. And the rule is saying that she's not able to play anymore because she was ineligible. So the bottom line is she's still ineligible, she's just able to play. As Trey just said, if she play, it will eventually come out those games going to be forfeit because she's ineligible. Nothing, the court can't change her to make her eligible. Only the association, only that committee can make her eligible. The committee have ruled her to be ineligible because she violated the rules. So the bottom line is every game she plays, she's ineligible. And no court's going to overrule that because it did not violate her rights. What right did you violate? Don't say the right to play. You should have known that when you did what? When you took the check in August, signed the check, endorsed the check, and the only reason you turned it over to the association is because the coach of the USA 18 and under called the mom and told the mom, I think you need to check and see if your daughter going to be ineligible in November. What's wrong with that picture, y'all? Please help me. Help me understand what's wrong with this picture. And we have a trade before we move forward. We have one of our co-hosts just joined us. He's known as Touchdown Tony. Tony, we have you on that live. How you doing, Tony?
I am. If I was in the bed, I might cry. I'm retired. I love it. How's my brother Daryl doing?
Daryl is still trying to get here. He's trying to make it here. He's going to make it. He said he'll make it. But we got you on. But we're talking about the –
Is Trey there?
Trey here. Tell him, Trey. Tell him you're here.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here, sir.
How's everything in North Alabama, Trey?
It's great, baby. We rolling, baby.
Prime time. I'm here, baby.
Kind of breaking up there, Tony.
I'm in. Prime time. I'm in.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Tony. We can hear you pretty good now. Appreciate you joining us, man. Glad you can make it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we were touching on that situation with the court system involved with this eligibility at the high school level, and you can share whatever point you want to share about it. But we was trying to give some more clear understanding in regards to how court system work when they step into situations and how the rules are in place. And we did make the statement that the committee ruled her to be ineligible. That's the reason why she went on the play. But the court system came in and offered an injunction until this can go to the court system, says she's able to play. However, the committee, unless the committee can change their thought, she's still ineligible. And you can share your thoughts on that, brother.
Well, let me just say this about court system. The court system has jurisdictional rights within their jurisdiction, and this did happen in the city of Troy. As I was told, a lawsuit was filed, and anytime a lawsuit is filed, that's going to involve a judge, it's going to involve a courtroom, et cetera. The good thing about the court system is the court system can be a mediator to a certain extent because you got all levels of court. You got, you got your district court, and then you got your federal
appellate
court, appellate, and you got your Supreme. Now, let's be mindful, 1968, the federal court gave the Alabama High School Athletic Association jurisdiction and private entity to rule athletics, because back then, athletics was a combination was actually a bit separated. So what it did, it combined it and gave equilateral power each way. Now, the good thing about the court system in this case right here is what it does is, for the young lady's sake, and I'm going to say this, I feel sorry for the young lady because of a situation that adults have caused her to be a part of. So let's have some merit when it comes to that. But what it does is, a TRO is a temporary restraining order, which takes the restraint off the initial ruling and give flexibility, in this case, the flexibility for the child to continue to play. You can continue to play, and somewhere down the line, somebody's going to probably think that this case has been pretty well settled to a certain extent. Extent, that's right. But you can go all the way to the end of the season into postseason. This can carry all the way in, all the way out. It could even carry into the end of the season and all the accomplishments that the school in question and athlete in questioning, I don't call names or things like this, it can come back and then the court can rule in favor of the association, and then the association can make go back and make the same ruling that they made a month ago, and everything that has been gained can be lost, including a state championship trophy. I've been a part of that. That is a bad situation to be encountered, because what happened then, every student athlete that's a part of that becomes a victim now, not just one. So it's the good, the bad, and the ugly in this, and hey, let the court settle it. I can say this. I have not been, to my knowledge, seen where the courts actually go against a ruling unless there's some arbitrariness in it or some unfairness in it, inconsistency in it of that nature. So it's going to be a tough situation. I just feel like sometimes people want what they want when they want it, irregardless of the consequences, and that's what we are in. So the court system has it now, and the court, don't forget now, when I say court system, listen to what the underlying agenda is. The court has already ruled in favor of the Alabama High School Athletic Association back in 1968 by giving them the right to control member schools. So with that end in mind, that's probably one of the best things that ever could have happened in this case, is to let the court system go back and support what they had put in place from the initial start from 1968. And I hope that's some definitive information for people that don't understand exactly what's going on with this.
Okay. Coach Stover, let me just kind of ask you this, and I know you know I know pretty much a lot of this dealing with this. Isn't that something maybe, and I know feelings get caught up in things and everything, that maybe the plaintiffs would have probably looked at this and seen exactly where it could go. The pleasure of this moment is great, but wouldn't you hurt these young people that who's not a part of this, had nothing to do with this? And isn't that a tough situation to be in? And like you say, you know, I know some situations where some people have been in that kind of situation as well. You know, I know legally this summer you had a not you, but the high school association had a situation with your private school with this enrollment scale, and it went through the same process, but it was a ruling saying that, you know, association was in favor of the association. So my thing is, those schools feel like they was hurt, but it was a rule and rules in place. So I guess my thing is, isn't this a chance that some people that been part of certain committees should have looked at and see, why would I do this, ask for this? I know the parent wanted this, but couldn't some other officials down there been a little bit more inclined to say, I don't want to hurt all the other kids in the long run? I just want to throw that out and say, tell me what you think about that.
That is a very good point to bring in to surface there. And here's where the member schools that take on the responsibility of making sure that they follow all the policies and rules governed by the association, because the schools initially makes the rules. You're exactly right. This should have never gone this far. This should have never gotten into popular media attention. This should have been one of those situations where, wait a minute now, let's look at this from a logistic point here is. But what happened here is now is that in all retrospect for the school in questioning, they are indirectly responsible because it has rolled this far. But it's a little bit out of their hand now because the parent has pursued legal action. And with that being said, that pulls the school back in it indirectly. So it's a hard pill to swallow, but where it's gotten now, it's out of the hands of the administration, because what the administration and the school in question did was accepted the situation. But what you have here is, this is not a norm. This is a little bit of an abnorm, because what you have here is you have a mother that's also a part of the member school and also the parent of a child in question. So that kind of got the parent in between this and that, and it has the school on the edge because the child represents. But in all respect for the member schools, they are not what you call frontline pursuing it. They have to a certain extent, take responsibility because it's ongoing. So that's what it is. Now, I'm hearing that the parent made the lawsuit, pursued for the bill upheld by the associate members in regards to the association and the board members. So it's one of those situations where a lot of people jumped on it and put fuel on the fire, and it still comes back to who is the school and who is the student, if you see where I'm coming from. But the school is kind of like regretting. I'm sure they're regretting as far as it goes. They probably feel a sense of relief now since the mother has gotten it, the parent has gotten it. I want to say the parent has gotten it. But it's still, the school is still that child. And when it hits the ass, they're going to call the school out. They're going to call the child out. They're going to call out where the child goes. You know, so it's a little bit distasteful right now. And so may it be, so I speak. You heard that term before.
Exactly. You know, Trey, you may have some thoughts on this as well. I'm going to let you come in here. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Make sure you call and press 1. Share your thoughts on it, and I'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I will ask you to identify yourself and your location. Let me just say one thing. I can relate to this situation back when I was a basketball coach, and Tremaine may not remember it very well, but he was like a 7th grader, so he was 12 years old. He didn't remember. So I had a player that was ineligible because he had failed, and well, he didn't have enough they didn't have enough points and have to pass and be eligible to play basketball. He passed to the next grade. But when I checked the eligibility, I made a decision as a school. And the player could have helped us, brought us to a level that no one could have played with us in. But I had to make a decision. And his parents got upset with me. Matter of fact, relative worked on the campus, but I had to make a decision for the sake of the school, for the sake of myself, for the sake of those players that was out there. So my thing is, I understand that. I think the school, that was an outlet by her parents doing that, where they could have said, well, no, don't do that because it's going to affect our other players. You know, I'm just saying somewhere down, I had to make a decision as the athletic director and as the head basketball coach that this player could not play. This same player left and went over to another school, and somehow the grades changed all of a sudden for him, so for him to play. I understand when they say the school is to just step back. Sometimes the school can make a decision. It might not be popular, but you got to make a decision, because all going to hurt those kids when that thing don't work in your favor, because it don't work in your favor. Just because that kid was able to play at another school, now we challenge the other building on it. I don't know whether Trey remember that or not. Trey, you got any thoughts on that? That's been a while ago. Like, he was in the 7th grade, but we had a 9th grade team with Brooks and all them. You remember that back in the days. Trey, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I remember that team was pretty good. I'm trying to figure out the kids you're talking about.
Well,
It might not be hard. It might just think for a minute. But that team was pretty good that year, man. I remember that ninth grade team. It was real good.
Barry was on there, and all of them was on there. You know, I had Derek Williams. He coaching over the
year.
I had all those guys on there. We could have been with that one player, but that player left me and went to Brubaker and became eligible under I'm going to call Coach Thomas. I call him name now because he retired, David Thomas. And I'm like, it's because you got a little bit more clout association down there, you're going to work it out so the kid can be eligible. So the point is, everybody looked at me like I was crazy, but I had to make a decision for the other guys that was on the team. It was unfair to have to be ruling eligible and pay the fine. So I'm just saying, coaches can make decisions. Don't get caught up in trying to win, because now this looks like you're sacrificing other kids. That's my thought on it. But you can share and this topic is something we can talk about. I like talking about this because it means something. People need to be educated on it. Go ahead on, Coach Stallworth.
Dr. Smith, you can't shop at the mall and buy integrity. But once it's earned, you can definitely ruin it by being mean spirit and being boastful about worrying about a W. The only win there is to make sure you teach kids how to be trustworthy and to deal with integrity. Because let me tell you something. Once a student or athlete ever get caught up into these non-integrity modes, they look for that all the way in life. I'm talking about at the next level, on job, and it's like a tattoo. It never goes away. Never goes away. Now, it's just like Trey said, he didn't remember that. It's because Trey probably looked beyond things like that, and he was probably doing what me and you did, getting his lesson and staying eligible. You know what I'm saying? And when you're doing that, you don't get caught up in all that. And it's obvious that parents sometimes, let me tell you what the biggest problem with parents. Let me just tell you what the biggest problem with the whole situation is. And I tell people all the time, I'm glad we're on this subject. Let's look at, I think I said this last week. The Alabama State Department of Education is responsible for teacher certification and making sure teachers provide information for teachers and then provide a teacher certification program. Am I right?
Correct.
Am I right? All right.
Correct.
The pathway for learning comes from the teacher to the student. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So a lot of times some people say, well, you failed my child. Yeah, I've been on that road too. Let's go to athletics. The association, all associations in every state are responsible for providing the resources and professional development and to educate and train the coaches on the rules, and they are responsible for making sure the student athlete. If a student athlete does not and gets caught up into a situation, then who failed who?
We failed the
coach. Failed the child. Yep. So why haven't this whole situation been labeled back to where it's supposed to be anyway? Like,
exactly.
Who failed who? If you do it the right way and see who failed who and accept responsibilities, it don't even have to go here, there, and everywhere. I'm as an administrator, yep, want to know why weren't this interpreted the right way and why are we getting caught up in this? That's my only concern. But
exactly.
Seems like it's been some scapegoat going on, and well, I ain't gonna touch this, and we'll let this go where it can, and let some politicians get in it, and let some national media get in it, and I'm just gonna duck around here and see how this work out. Yeah, but it's gonna come back. It's gonna come back. Cause God don't like ugly. So to speak. I just can't bounce at it. So excuse me. I had to put a little religion in there. And what you reap, you're going to what? You're going to sow. Justice will prevail. It really will. And again, you're prolonging a situation that could have been professionally taken care and didn't even have to be in the media at all. Because even that situation that you were talking about, Dr. Smith, even if it had occurred and you corrected, that wouldn't even got local media because the association don't do that. If you want to talk to the press, that's your business. They ain't going to talk to them. Because you got to protect your member school. That's what a governing body does. But when a governing body breaks down because you have not done what you're supposed to be, and then you punch back at the governing body, you're fighting the hand that feeds you. It doesn't make sense to me. It's just like an uncontrollable disease that has not been treated. It's all over the place now. It's everywhere.
Exactly.
But when you look back to it and go back to where it really needs to be, it's still back in the hand of administration. It really is, because the bylaw says the administration is the sole responsible party for all athletic matters.
Exactly.
So it is what it is.
It is. It is what it is. You know, just one more thing I want to share. And I know, Trey, you might have something you want to say, but I want to cut you off and not let you be able to do that. But we can talk about the matter, and we want to make sure we do it. 347-857-4192. But let me kind of look at it in a way that, as you say, Co-Star Worth, that we should be looking at it. We should be looking at it that if we have rules that we must follow, and for the purpose of the rule to make sure we are successful. And you used a good example last week when you said about if the speed limit is 60 and you run at 70, that don't mean you're not wrong. You are wrong. Now, you know, we all encounter when we get stopped, the first thing the police, when they come in, say, you know, the first thing they ask you, decide, let me see your license and see your insurance, what it says. You know how fast you're running?
That's right. And why are you running that fast?
And why are you running that fast? And the first thing coming is you know you was running 70 or 75. The first thing you said, you ain't going to say 75, you said 70, but the speed limit is still 60. So my point
That's
is
right.
if you got an incident like that, that person should realize the timetable shows that it wasn't handled the right way, it wasn't handled by you. And you as an adult, you got to take up the responsibility. It would have been the best thing in the world. Okay, I'm letting this go and move on over here where I was going to move because my child already going to move to the next level. But the thing I wanted to get to, Coach Stallworth, was something was said by one of the talking heads and the partners that was advocating this every now and then. He came on television. He said that he ought to think the high school association need to drop it now because they're looking bad. Now, maybe I'm missing this. So it's all right to violate the rule, and when the government agent that's required to enforce the rule, they should drop it and let it be all right. I just want your thoughts on that.
Well, inconsistency is nothing but doomsday. The association has always taken the initiative to enforce the rules and support is upheld as long as it is what's written. You know, I don't see anything hard about following what's written. But what comes hard is when you follow what's written and when it's broken, taking responsibility of it. Okay, let's just say let it go. If you let it go, then that's when the association looks bad. That's when you need to close the door. That's when you need to get out of the business. You can't do it. Let me tell you this. That is not a job for a person that wants to be liberal and scratch somebody's back and say, okay, everything is okay. Can you imagine? Let's say what attitude you would have taken when you first saw that child was under the academic scrutiny of failing. If you had a association that didn't govern rules, you would have never thought nothing of it and went on about your business. Isn't that right? But you've learned to respect.
Right.
You've learned to respect because hell, you played under the rules.
That's right.
Ray played under the rules.
Yes.
The rules hadn't really changed that much. They have been somewhat condensed and have been somewhat modified because society is different. Hell, look, when I got there, the amateurism rule was $50. The executive director asked the central board to consider increasing it because this is a new day. $50 ain't no money. So, you know, what you want to do now? Increase it to $850, $875? Same thing I said last week. You broke the 65-mile-an-hour speed. That's fine. Pay the ticket. Now, if the legislators want to get together and say, you know what, I think we need to increase it to 75, that's fine. You're going to pay the ticket, though, right?
That's
Give
right.
Give my ticket away.
That's
pay.
Right.
Yes, sir. This situation right here somewhat needs modification. I don't disagree with that because society makes into that. But did the rule get broken? Yeah, so what do you do? You're punished by what? By the law, just that simple. You go
by
back
law.
To the table and
exactly.
look at it if it's necessary. You as a school can say, let me go into the proposal, which is due in February now. Nobody knows that. Everybody fighting their thing. And see, can we ratify a change in this so we can have flexibility of an increase for not just us, but for USA or whoever that can give these kids something. So, Dr. Smith and Trey, you both know $850 ain't much money either. But
right.
If amateurism and wages and earning is two different things, you can't do it. It's
exactly.
two different pages. So
exactly.
let's look at one thing I like, I heard that Queen Natalie say, and I give her credit for being modest about this. She said, "This has been a tough time for me, and I certainly hope no other student athlete has to go through this." Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you, taking athletics from a high school student when they will never be able to revisit is a hurting thing. But rules are rules. What do we do in our house with our children when we bought them that brand new bicycle and they stopped getting their lessons and start feeling great? We take the bicycle away, right?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right? We take that damn bicycle
That's
away
right.
and we never look back. But some kind of way we've gotten away from the law of the land and get selfish when things happen. And opposed. And, you know, in small towns, Dr. Smith and Trey, you know, when they have situations like this come upon them, it's a hurting situation because high popularity in athletics is not always on their doorstep. If you're in Huntsville somewhere, in Birmingham, and places like that, the mountains and stuff like that, every day there. But you got more than one way to look at it, and you find another way to get what? Get by it and move forward. So it's it's a situation where you allow too many people to get involved fighting willingly and without knowledge of what's really going on and understanding the business of governing rules. You know, and that's the way it is now. I'm glad the court is in it now because what it done now, if you notice, the media got something else to talk about now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what it's all about right there. Trey, you want to share your thoughts on that? I know we're a little bit over the time, but you know what? This is a hot topic that we want to talk about because we got some ideas. Trey, you just want to share your thoughts on it?
I already shared mine, Dr. Smith. Like I said, it was a rule out there that they violated the rule. Now, they know they violate the rule, but you still want the Alabama High School to show some, you know, some gratitude to you for, okay, breaking the rule. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out, like, why should she get a pass? Like I said, she's not the first, nor will she be the last to break that rule. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm trying to understand why should she get a pass. Like I asked you earlier, did something Central get
yeah.
the pass last
yeah,
year?
Yeah, last year. Oh, yeah, Central, did
midfield get a pass? I mean,
nope.
These teams that high caliber.
I'm going to tell both of y'all gentlemen this, too. I held that situation, and I spoke to both administrators. I gave both administrators an opportunity to look into the matter, respectively. They looked into the matter and found what we found to be justifiably. They didn't ask for a pass, didn't ask for nothing. Responsibility, and they held the coaches accountable, and they moved forward. That's exactly what they did. And what's good for one should be good for the other.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that was every,
and that
wasn't one student. That was every student on that team.
Every student. There you go. Yeah. That's what I wanted to point to. Because if y'all
I talked to a parent in that
uh-huh.
area down there, and that parent was very upset until she found out well, who's responsible for making the schedule? I said, the coaches are. And she said, well, who approved it? I said, the administration and the AD, et cetera, of that school. She said, okay, now I got a different perspective. She wanted to be educated about it. Before that, she was getting ready to bring the whole town of South Alabama to Fort Montgomery.
Yep.
But she, when she got educated, she said, I'm an educator. Then guess, I'm going to tell you this here, too. That was her son coaching the team. She had two reasons to want to fight. But when she found out exactly who was held accountable for making sure this happened, she bagged off. And if you notice, that was a quiet storm that what went right away. Nobody said that. That's right.
Exactly.
Because they took responsibility for a wrongdoing.
Exactly.
And guess what?
And that
they rank
three right now too.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, if anybody get in that way this year, they're gonna have two reasons to want to get it all, because they felt like they didn't get a chance last time, but it was their mistake.
Exactly.
And they didn't crucify the association. They didn't go public with the association.
Nope.
They did a few local things, but they wanted to be educated on what's going on. That didn't happen in this situation.
Exactly.
These people made phone calls everywhere.
Exactly. And that's what we talk about. But quickly, that's one other subject I want us to talk about, brother, before we close this thing out. Those players that are juniors that declared for the draft, and Trey, I want you to kind of, if you got a minute, to kind of share your thoughts in regards to particular players, and I'll call out Mac Wilson from the University of Alabama. Is that person ready to go to the NFL? And I know you want to add your thoughts in as well, Tony, but I want Trey to kind of share his thoughts on that topic right there. Because I know he has some thoughts on that. You can too, 347-857-4192. Call in. Go ahead on, Trey. Lead this one. Show us where you need to go there. Coach Paul, I'm going to touch a little basketball for a few minutes.
I'm a hit quit, man. It's two jokers. Well, I'm going to say maybe three. Mac Wilson, Deontay Thompson, and Savion Smith. Savion Smith, I don't know what he's seeing that's going to get him a grade in the NFL. I'm lost right there, Dr. Smith. Mac Wilson had one of the worst years I've ever seen as an Alabama linebacker. And for him to be rated the number two inside linebacker in this upcoming draft, I don't believe that. Deontay Thompson might have been the top of all these. Deontay Thompson had a pretty solid year, but not an Alabama safety year. All safeties at Alabama were elite safeties, probably number one safeties in the draft. They're saying he's the number one safety. I didn't see that this year. Didn't cover ground well. He made a few plays on the ball, but I disagree with those three. I'm lost. Savion just coming off the worst game of his career, and for him to declare for the draft, that meant he wasn't even in it for Alabama football. I'm gonna say that right there, because he's nowhere near ready for the NFL. But Dr. Smith at the other end, get them jokers out the way. I'm gonna say that. Let's go on with our younger talent. We'll deal with Dylan Moses. We just need one in there to be top tier. But Matt would have helped us next year. But since he want to go to the NFL, we can't. You run behind him. I mean, he gone now, so we next man up. So we'll slide another 5-star. I don't think he's ready. This was the worst year I've ever seen that we haven't seen who the next guy up is, Dr. Smith. Tosh, he didn't give us the idea of anybody. Like, as far as linebackers, you know, I haven't seen anybody that's been sliding. You know, when the defensive coordinators that was there 2 or 3 years ago, we always knew who was next and coming. We always knew. But I don't know. I don't know who the next and coming guy is. Is it McMillan? I don't know. I haven't seen McMillan at all this year. So I'm trying to see, like, what's going on, Dr. Smith. But that's my thoughts on those three jokers leaving, man. I disagree with all of them.
All right. Coach Worth, you got any thought on that?
Well, here's, I always look at I don't look at college sports anymore from a nothing more, especially that level. I look at it as a business. Now, I think every one of the guys that decided to go was, let me say this to you, Trey. They made me feel like if I stay around and have another bad season, I may not ever get a chance. If I get injured, I may not ever get a chance. So, coordinator gone, offensive coordinator gone, quarterback coach gone, everybody gone. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you don't want to miss that bus ride. And wherever you land when you get there, because let me tell you something, 90% of those athletes that are 5-stars are going there now to do like Jalen Hurts, to get a degree. They try to get on that bus. And when that bus crank up, if you don't get a seat this year, you better get it when you can and figure it out when you get there.
Because I'm going to tell you something. It's best to get hurt or have a bad year under a contract now than a degree program. And just the way it is, it's changed so much. And I understand where you're going with the trade, but you got to understand why they're going there. That's the ticket to the next level. And when that bus ride is there, and when those agents tell them you better get on, you better get your butt on there, or you may not get another chance. And another thing you said, Trey, you got other five stars right behind them looking for them spots. So you hang around there and had a bad year, you may not be on the field next year. Instead of an inside linebacker, it might be in the locker room.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm gone. Yeah, exactly. But see, that's what we're talking about. That's awesome. That's 347-857-4192. You still have an opportunity to call it. All right, let's jump over to some basketball. We're talking about game on, game is on. Let's talk about some basketball. And Coach Stallworth, I'm going to kind of share some thoughts about teams that played in the game I saw on Friday night. It was an outstanding game between number one ranked Carver and the number eight ranked, and this is where I saw a poll, Lanier. It was outstanding. However, there was is always somebody got to step up and make a difference. And the final score, something like 16 or 17 points, Lanier won by. It was shocking to Carver. And when I watched the game was exciting, but they're relying on one player. And that one player gets very frustrated when he can't do what he wants to do. He could get a call on him, and he don't think he should have a call. You know, he got upset. My observation was he got upset because this young sophomore was hitting threes. He was trying to check him, and the guy was beating him and coming off the screen and shooting, and he was getting upset. His little partner, which is the other guy, Barnett, from Odette, that transferred over Lanier from Carver, went to dunk. He went up there and bumped him and knocked him over in the bleachers. Just that low down, you know. I call it low down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want him to dunk. And they didn't give him a intentional foul. They gave him a foul. But I thought that, you know, the way he did it, but he was mad because the guy was going to dunk. But these guys play with each other every weekend and play against each other. So they don't want to lose. They're so competitive. But I think that's the biggest thing there. There is a separation there. And I think Lanier, being young, is beginning to find out where they are. And Carver might be where they don't have enough players to follow along. Now, any other thoughts on that? You can share your thoughts, not on that, but any other form of basketball. Then we get closer to time, we can wrap it up. And our resident expert we have here, that's Coach Stallworth. He may want to share some thoughts about what's going on. He shared last week about the poll.
And Carver is ranked number one, and deservedly they should be. They defended state champion. But that was a team that was in Carver's tournament, ranked number two, which is Pinson Valley. And then Sidney Lanier. Now, here's the team that we need to talk about a little bit, Robert E. Lee High School, which has already beat Lanier twice. Am I right?
I believe so, because they lost two. They lost four.
At the present time, Lee is sitting somewhat in a hidden spot and might be the team of the city because of the youth of Lanier. But anyway, let's look at basketball right quick in the state. So, Trey, we can let you know, y'all make some noise up there, too. In 7A, Mount Brook, Lee Montgomery, Mount Brook is number one, and Lee Montgomery at 18-1 behind is number two. Hoover at number three, and James Clement is at number seven. And girls,
you
got Hoover, McGill Tulum, Austin, Griffin, and in 6A, you got Hazel Green. So, you know, if the basketball, I'd say the prominent ones are still on top going forward. I like 5A right now with Ramsey girls being 14-6 along with Charles Hamilton 14-6. That might get interesting, Dr. Smith and Trey Forzo with, especially with other things. Brew Tech girls, 18-2. So surprisingly, nobody talking about them, you know. And 2A, I'm going to tell you something. I saw something with Calhoun that people are not giving recognition to. Calhoun played in the Carver Elite Tournament, and if you call Morrow biggest losing by two, losing by one, and coming out 2-1 in a tournament of that nature, Calhoun could be something to look at down the road, Dr. Smith. That's down your way, isn't it? Central Hamer girls are ranked 6.92. So it's getting down to, excuse the expression, net cutting time. It's getting down to separation. Winona and 5A girls are still there. Winona boys are at the top there. Looking at Hillcrest Evergreen. You saw them, Dr. Smith, a little bit, didn't you? And the team I was talking about, we were talking about earlier about the situation with the schedule last year, something simple, 11-2. So, hey, it's going to be very interesting. And let's be mindful that Montgomery's going to be fortunate this year as we close out on basketball. They're going to have two regions in the city of Montgomery. You get a ticket at Alabama State University, you use that same ticket over to Garrett Coliseum because the South's going to be in one place, Central in another one, and the other two will be back in Jacksonville and Hansville. So Montgomery, the capital city, deserves that. It just kind of worked its way out that way. Thanks to the city of Montgomery and the mayor for taking a lead to make sure that become possible. And thank the Alabama High School Athletic Association for their staff and making sure that the city of Montgomery gets what it deserves, because Montgomery teams were being separated in sending part of the teams to the South in Dalton and the other part at the state. It's, and I saw some people trying to make both. Hey, it's going to be very accommodating. It's hoop time, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get started.
All right. Let's make it do what it do. Coach Trey, you got anything you want to share? And we'll get ready to wrap this thing up. We know basketball is here. It's getting time for playoff basketball. So you can share your thoughts.
One thought, giving kudos to the Elite Generals. They defeated May Jemison Jaguars on last Friday. You know, a lot of talk been, you know, a lot of people been talking about their game, man, and we came out on top, man. We won this Monday. We beat Hazel Green, beat them by 33. And this Friday we have Buckhorn. We play Buckhorn at Buckhorn. So, shoot, my lead general is peaking at the right time, man. We trying to get to that that state crown and meet up with them sitting in the little poets, man. One more thing. In that 5A region, that Winona team is very solid. They have three starters that been there the last 3 or 4 years. I know when we were 5A, we was running into that Winona team. They got a set of twins and one kid.
That's right.
So that is a set of twins, a guard and a big. They got probably like a 6'8", 6'9" big that's been there for a minute. But them boys were young when we ran into them. They gave us a lot of problems. They got over the hump last year. They beat us in the regionals at Wiley State, and they got down there, you know, in Birmingham and got beat in the next round, but they got there. So I'm going to give kudos to that Winona team because they will be there.
Let me
That's all
you
I got,
Doctor.
Go ahead.
You got more problems than City Lanier. You got Jemison Huntsville at number 5 and you at number 6, so you got a few more problems before you get there. So,
hey.
Good luck.
Hey, look, we gonna be all right, man. Long as we going to Jacksonville instead of Wallace, we ain't gotta run into them jokers coming that way. We'll
That's
run
true.
Into them
That's
oxes.
True.
We can run into
That's
them
right.
oxes and stuff. We fine.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir. I take Jacksonville any day of the week.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're talking about sports. You know, game is on. We're rolling out the ball. We got the big ball game in Birmingham this weekend, the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. We got basketball at the highest level in Central Alabama, North Alabama, and South Alabama. So I understand LaFleur was ranked nationally at one time, too, as well. So we got basketball on. Down in Florida, they got it going on as well, as I shared some of the teams down there. IMG Academy ranked top in the country, one of the teams ranked in the country, and they are ranked top in Florida. So it's going on. But it's about time to close. We're going to have an outstanding night. We got to close this show. If not, the show going to do it to us. So last word, make your statement known, say what you need to say, and we just do what we have to do. Go ahead, all, either one of y'all.
Don't forget the MLK. MLK will be in town next week, too. That'll bring some teams in town, too, for the city of Montgomery and surrounding area. As always, enjoyed being here, Dr. Smith and Trey. And for Big D that's not present, I'm going to hold that against him. He always holds it against me. But anyway, have a nice day. You take a day, and don't let the day take you.
All right, Coach Word. All right, Trey. Coach Trey.
All right. Had a great night tonight with y'all guys, man. Wanted to give kudos to my Chapman Indians. Pulled out a big game Monday night versus the McNair Wildcats. They were undefeated. Coming in, we popped their head, Dr. Smith. That rabbit had the gun. We got them, Joe.
All right.
So, pulled that out, even the slate, man.
Glad.
So, going into this tournament, we know we can beat them. And we done beat every team in the city at least once. I'm going to say that, Dr. Smith. So, going into the tournament, we know we got a chance, Dr. Smith. That's all I got for tonight. Y'all have a great night.
Trey, when is the tournament? When is your middle school tournament?
January 29th. I'll let y'all know next week officially what time to start. That's around the time to start.
Okay. Let us know because we want to check y'all out. That's awesome.
That'll work.
Trey, thank you. Tony Starworth, thank you. Touchdown, Tony. Thank you, all the individuals listening. It's time to call it quits. You know, we're at the point of this show where we said we appreciate you joining us. We had an outstanding preview show at 7. Now we had an outstanding show at 8 o'clock that went way beyond the time. I always set the time up for to be there. So we enjoyed it, but we want you to make sure you join us next week as well as on Friday. You can join us for Balling with the Doc at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. Call in number 347-857-4192. So join us, and we really appreciate you to be with us next Wednesday. So it's exciting time. It's basketball time. Head to Birmingham, put your meat in the seat, go enjoy yourself. Also, support your local high school, local middle school, because we get in the end of basketball and be there at that tournament. It has been an awesome night, and I like to say, my hashtag is keep on grinding, communicate four with the number four, understanding, and as I always close it out with my favorite word, and we're going to attach that to me. I love you.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the
best is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a
the
winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
Care what people talk to you, ain't seen
the best day. You ain't seen your best day.
Oh, what a my brother. What you know?
You ain't seen your best day.
Would you deposit this word in your
I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.